When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Great future. We're talking real money.
Well, welcome to our little podcast again. Hi, everybody. It's the Talking Real Money podcast. I'm Don McDonald in Florida. That's Tom Koch in the outskirts of Seattle, Bellevue, which is a giant city in its own right these days. How big is Bellevue, by the way?
It goes past the door here. I know that. I don't get out a lot.
You do not know?
No, I don't.
The Pacific Northwesterner
I'll say 200,000.
I bet it's bigger than that, but we'll find out. We'll check it out before the show's over. I will. I'll check it out. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the big show. This is the show where we deal with dough. We spend a ton of time talking about saving and investing the money that you will need for that big future goal. The biggest one of all. It's the 800-pound gorilla. It's the 32-ton giant woolly mammoth. It is huge. It is the time when you're going to need a ton of money. We call it retirement. And in retirement, something people didn't do back in the old days much. You know, a few of the rich did, but they were already rich, so who cared? Most working people, they just died on the job. But today, we get to retire, and we get to retire sometimes for a very long time, which requires an income stream over and above Social Security. That's why we try to help you get there better. But it's not linear. It's not just save, spend. There's a process, and there are actually steps along the way. And one of those steps is that time as you're prepping for it. The time when you go, okay, I have the number. My goal is to retire at X. So what are the important things that you need to do as you approach X, aka retirement, Tom?
It's the number two question we get after I just came into money. What do I do with it now? That's number one. Or actually, and number two in today's world is, I don't want to put money in bonds. I'll put it all in CDs because they're making 5%. That's a title for another day.
That's a current question. Yeah, that's a current question. That one's not going to last.
But it does come. This one comes up a lot, and I personally think for anyone over the age of 50. Now, my life changed a lot at 50, as Don knows. It was headed in one direction, one in another direction.
There were
a number of things that changed quite a bit at 50.
Yeah. So, kind of, 50 for both of us was a weird year.
Yeah, very strange. So, which is fine, but I still think after 50, you should at least start thinking about these things. Maybe not necessarily have the
okay, 50,
plan.
Maybe thinking.
Yeah, thinking.
But really, I'm thinking planning maybe is like at 60.
But
really.
I would be at least putting stuff on paper and thinking about it and that kind of thing. But all this right. comes
You're
from somebody
planner.
Else's work.
You are a planner.
That's true. This comes from Christine Benz, whose work we greatly respect. She writes at Morningstar on a regular basis, and I like her work there. And this comes from her. And these are, according to her, the key tasks for investors approaching retirement. Now, the order I found interesting because the first one she mentions is nourish your human capital.
Well, that's vague.
Yeah, it is and it isn't.
What does that, nourish?
To me, here's what it means. Here's what it means to me. It's
open to interpretation.
Yeah, very much so. But for most people, you mentioned retirement and money, right? Yeah. It's about how much money do I have? How much can I spend? That kind of thing. And you probably should be thinking about the other parts of retirement, which I spend more time today thinking about than I ever have. I tell you what, like when I have a day when I'm not in the office and it's not that busy, I start thinking, God, what am I going to do here? And I don't really want to sit around and watch TV. How many models can I build? I mean, I see my grandsons on Friday.
Premier League isn't all year.
I know. It's not all day, every day. So I start thinking, I got to fill in the blanks here. I think about this regularly. I think it's overlooked, kind of the purpose in retirement. What am I going to do? Don will continue to do voice work till the day he drops, so he's all set. And maybe we do the podcast till the days we drop. So there's some time, but purpose, the human side of retirement that I think people used to spend no time on and now get a little bit. And we've touched on it, retirement a bit, probably doesn't get as much attention, I think, Don, as it deserves.
Neither one of us are going to be out golfing.
Nope. Well, we could try.
I've tried. I live in Florida. I've tried. It's at my age, you know, the old can't teach an old dog new tricks.
There you go.
That's pretty much me, the old dog.
Anyway, so that there's one. And I think that's a worthy one. She also says start mulling your Social Security strategy, which I agree, but I'd be doing more than mulling as I approach retirement. I would have an idea as to really when I'm going to start to claim Social Security and when my significant other would be claiming it as well. And I would look carefully at the numbers and I would already have a login. There's just a big piece in the Wall Street Journal about the number of people whose Social Security has been defrauded by people hacked into their online and sent their check to Wichita, Kansas, instead of getting it to your own bank account.
Because once you have a login at ssa.gov, then you get, then you have the benefit of two-factor identification and a lot more hoops for potential scammers to jump through.
So I would at least know those numbers. I would have an idea. Don and I have publicly stated that we plan to wait until 70. I sometimes think, if I got retired early, or you get sick, you might be like, start giving me money.
I'm 67. Of course I'm going to wait till 70.
But you might at 69 and a half say, I'll just take it now because I'm not working as much or whatever. I need the cash, whatever. So that's worthy. But I'd do more than mull on your Social Security strategy if I'm approaching retirement. Number three, and this is a little difficult as well, maintaining your safety net. Now, I'm assuming she's referring to sort of how much liquidity you have in your portfolio, right?
Yeah, this is going to be your CDs and high yield savings accounts that everybody's enamored with.
Bigger as you get closer to retirement, right? I mean, again, my portfolio has very little of this in it, save for a little bit money of taxes, and I have an expensive trip coming up this summer that I'm leaving some cash for. But other than that, I don't have a whole lot of sort of cash holdings. And again, we try to help you separate investing from saving. Saving is the stuff that's there for the emergencies or whatever. Investing's more long-term. So yeah, maintaining that safety net, but I wouldn't be necessarily adding to it if I already had the money I needed for the short term there.
I absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, they are the same, though. When you think about it for a minute, it's all part of that pie. And the emergency money is going to be replenished from your investing. So they work together. And I think everybody should look at all of their assets as one big, massive investment portfolio.
That is absolutely fair, which brings us to number four. From Christine Benz, and she says, assess the adequacy of your portfolio. Assess the adequacy.
Her writing is just a little bit cryptic.
It's
assess
a
the adequacy? What
okay,
the heck
but
does
there's,
that
there's
mean?
A couple of things here to unpack, I think. Number one is, do you have the right mix between risky things like stocks and less risky things like bonds? That's one. But then I think it's never the wrong day to get an analysis to find out after that, how diversified you are, how much risk you're taking, and how much you're paying others. Because most people are surprised.
I find it curious that the vast majority of investors, which that's a lot of people, don't have a clue.
Nope. Don't know
how their portfolio really is invested. I find it fascinating. We ask all the time. They call in and they go, well, I'm investing with so-and-so. And I will go, well, give me the name of a fund that's in your portfolio.
Any fund. Yeah.
Anyone. One even. Oh, I don't know. What's your stock bond rate? I don't know. How much? I don't know. Nobody knows.
You got to know that.
That leads me to believe that maybe the industry doesn't want them to know.
Which, of course,
am I just being overly suspicious?
We know they don't want you to know for the reasons they don't want you to know, right? Because the less you know, the more they end up with. But I think that's, by the way, the adequacy of your portfolio is something you should know every bit as much at 30 as you should at 60. That shouldn't be something that waits until you're approaching retirement. I love this one. Number five, embark on a pre-retirement savings sprint. And in your case, Don, we're going to give you an exception. We're going to allow you to walk it instead of sprint it.
Oh, thank God, because, you know, I don't.
I didn't want to see you worn out.
These legs aren't as young as they used to be.
Unless you got somebody else lifting them and putting forward for it. I love this because you should be maxing out in the places that it makes sense, whether those are pre-tax or post-tax or taxable accounts. You should be cranking it up right now, setting that money aside, having it grow because you're getting close to the time where you're going to start pulling on it. So I think that's really good advice.
That is all good advice. Is that it?
Well, that one. Then you want me to go on to number six?
There's more?
There's
How
more.
Many are
Couple
there?
More. Two more. Two more
Two
for
more.
You.
Okay, all right.
And then I got my three. I always have my comment. You know that.
I know.
This one's, again, kind of gets back to what we talked in what you had number three, but build your stakes in safer securities. That gets back to kind of overall portfolio design, right? I mean,
right. That's the whole idea behind target date funds, is the automatic rebalancing to safer assets as you get closer to retirement. But we believe there's also an added component to that. It's not just age. It's inclination, which comes into which your risk tolerance factors very, very highly.
Which we give you free by going and taking the risk quiz at talkingrealmoney.com. So I wouldn't be rushing all of my money from stocks to bonds as I got close to retirement, but I would know what my ratio was, and I'd know what rate of return that ratio is likely to supply. And they know how much I need to make. That would be the key thing.
That's the important part. How much do you need to make? Because if you don't need to make too much and you're not trying to win the race for the richest person on the planet, which I think you've already lost, then you might as well not take as much risk if you don't need as much money.
And that's been a change, right? Because isn't Bezos now ahead of Elon Musk in the sweepstakes?
You know, I can't really keep up with this. This.
Well, no, you can't keep up. I get that part.
I can never keep up with the two of them.
Maybe supply the pocket change one day or something. That one's important. But I think this one, again, doesn't get the attention it deserves and should be. I would move it all the way right up underneath the Social Security strategy. And that is, think about your withdrawal sequencing. In other words, where is the money going to be taken from, especially if you've got these different, I know you hate the expression, buckets, holdings, pre-tax, Roth, taxable.
Tanks. Let's call them tanks.
Tanks. You're holding tanks.
Boxes.
I don't know if that works so well anyway.
Money boxes. Treasure chests.
Treasure chests. But, I mean, they all have different ramifications tax-wise that now you need to be very sensitive about, not just in terms of paying tax, but then in terms of your unfriendly friend at Medicare called Irma. There's a lot of things to look at here to be very careful. So the sequence, in other words, where that money is going to be drawn from, when it's going to be drawn, is very, very important in retirement.
Did you have more?
I always have more.
Okay.
I was going to give you the chance to comment on that one, but I'm ready to go.
No, I mean, of course, that goes without saying.
Okay, I think number one, it takes right to the top of the list here that Christine didn't even mention.
I thought her number one was weak. So strengthen that up a little bit.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and boot it over to the side here and step right in and say, know how much money you're actually spending. How about that? I mean, That's not there. I mean, you got to know what the spend is.
Right. You need to know what your current spend is before you can calculate a future spend.
Yep. I think that's 100% number one.
Okay, I give you that one. That's a big one.
And be honest with yourself about it, because many people think, well, now that I'm retired, I'm only going to spend 80% of my current income. I'd run it at 100%. And I know you're not going to save in your 401k, and I know you're not going to buy a suit anymore, and you're saving on gas every day, but shocking, money still gets spent. Number two, this is one I still see on a regular basis. You got to start cutting off the people that need your help. It's just the reality. I'm not for Debbie. I'm not talking about Debbie.
Tom's going. So number two, be selfish.
You have, because if you're closing in on retirement, you have to be, because guess what? There's nobody going to loan you the money for retirement. You need to take care of yourself and your significant other. I wasn't cutting off Debbie or Danielle.
I'm sorry, children, places. No matter how big the crisis.
That's the truth.
I wish you well.
People handing people, oh, here's $5,000. No, You got to take care of you first right now. That's huge.
I hear Sedona has set aside a lovely parking lot for people living in their cars.
Oh, please. Well, if they want to borrow the silver bullet, that's another thing. But here's number three. And I think, again,
this is Tom's number three.
My number three. Absolutely critical, because you could do all these things and you could do them well, but I would still get a review by a 100% fiduciary advisor. Absolutely 100% of the time, because there are going to be things you didn't think about. You just don't, because you don't do this every day. So
that's easy for you to say, but nobody knows where to find one.
Oh, well, okay.
No, truly finding one it's literally, I've done looking. It's really hard to find good ones. I've used some of the services where they send you names and I look them up and I go, 100% fiduciary? No, nope. Not really.
Oh, they say they are. Of course. Come on.
I have a number four.
Oh, please.
Okay. If one of the things you need to do to make sure that you enjoy a great retirement is don't die before it.
That helps.
Stay alive into retirement.
Although, I mean, who knows after death, what kind of, life you got. Yeah, it might be better than this one. I don't know. So.
Right, but you can't really plan for, some will say you can. I guess, never mind. I'm going back to my little cave over here where I record stuff.
Shut the door quickly.
Before I get into more trouble. Yeah,
which is coming.
It is my life. I get into trouble all the time. The deluge. Anyway. So
those are a couple ideas. I think they're good ones for the most part. And I think I'll go back to that final one. If you're getting serious about this, you got to get serious. You got to get some help and make a look at that.
Oh, it was funny. I was reading through some of our reviews and the two biggest complaints about us, one, we don't like crypto. Okay, me.
Don't like it.
Do you think crypto is a great investment? How are you getting off the hook?
I wrote it all the way up to 73,000, sold it, and I made a lot of money so far this year. But publicly, I don't own it.
The second biggest thing
about crypto. Okay, I'm not as blatant as you, but here's the way I look at it. I'm going to admit I don't know enough about it, but I'll tell you this. I've made, or the past shows, you could have made enough, at least for me, in stocks and bonds. I don't need it. That's like somebody comes to you really got to be part of this. Why? Yeah, I don't have to be part of it. I don't have to add anything.
Look at him again. Yeah. Look at him again. He's like,
I'm announcing my senatorial campaign later.
I can say a lot without saying a damn thing.
Well, it's political year. No,
you know what the second biggest complaint is?
Okay, go ahead. I'll take it.
We're too basic.
Yeah, because most people, they don't realize how important that is. If they just did a few simple things, they'd be fine.
They think that we're skipping, we understand all of the complex topics pretty darn well, but we don't share them with you. We do not.
Is this the thing about how we tell you index funds, but you and I are really secretly investing in some other way?
Apparently.
We had a tricky secret sauce that we're throwing over everything.
Supposedly, we're supposed to share the complex strategy of the day with you.
Okay. All right.
But we have a fervent belief, and it is fervent, that most of this stuff is BS. It is just absolute garbage. Why would we share it with you just because somebody says it's hot to make some money off of you?
And that, my friend, is everything you need to know about Wall Street. Because that's what they're very good at. All right, time for a couple questions. Yeah, this one comes from Thomas, so we have to take his question, in Pennsboro, Pennsylvania. Ooh, has a nice alliteration there, Pennsboro.
You know, they do a lot of pensing in Pennsylvania, don't they?
They're a pensive bunch. Says, I have $110,000 in an annuity that will be out of surrender in less than a year. Yay. And then they have 750 in other accounts, blah, 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 available when needed. But the question is about the $110,000 in money. My thoughts, once I get my money back from the evil insurance company, is to put it into a Vanguard rollover IRA, which means the annuity was in a IRA.
I was just going to say, so apparently idiot put your annuity, put an annuity into a retirement plan.
We just met with someone yesterday that put the money more than this in a Roth IRA into an annuity. A Roth. Just want to strangle them.
Stop talking to people who sell insurance. If they have an insurance company name in their financial advice title, just run.
They're so nice. Okay, question.
My buddy's kid.
question. It's always somebody's kid. Question is the $110,000. Yeah. My thoughts, put the Vanguard rollover IRA with 50% in an ETF total stock domestic index fund, 25% in an ETF international stock fund. And then, wait, here's the important part. Instead of 25% in bonds, put 25% in a CD. My thinking is the CD will never go below zero while earning 5%.
Until it stops earning 5%, then
which
what?
Which is about a, I just looked all it up. You're you can get about get a year best, and a half right
you're
now.
You're going to get a year at 5%. Yep. That's as good as it gets. Then what? This is, we stop thinking past a year. For some reason, our brains don't think anything will happen past a year. What if the rates go down? Then what do you do?
So no. I would still CDs, use if the you total want to
ladder
bond.
Them. If you want to ladder them.
But which most people are not going to do.
Discipline.
Yeah, no.
And most people won't because they we're short-sighted. We all are.
So I would still use, and we've talked about this, I hate to say a lot, but we have. The long term still shows that bonds have made more than CDs long term. So believe what you like. I know it hasn't worked out the last couple of years. By the way, Thomas adds, P.S., I enjoy your show a lot more than the guru who always says the same things. Gazelle interest, live credit card free, live debt free, work five jobs at a time, and tries to sell his products nonstop. I think we know what we're talking about there. So we'll,
I think I totally
love
do
me
know.
Some gazelle interest since I'll be running with the gazelles here soon. All right. From Donna in Sammamish, Washington, beautiful Sammamish, Washington, Ron and Don, she writes, always a pleasure listening to you both. So you're do, welcome, you do another show with Ron
thank,
or something?
Thank goodness. I mean, usually it's Tom and Dan, or but now it's okay. Good, they got your name wrong.
I'm sure you must be tired of recommending AVGE. That's the Avantis Global Equity Exchange Traded
Fund.
And then all the subsequent questions regarding this fund. So I apologize in advance for my questions to you both about what must seem obvious to you, but maybe I'm missing something. I decided to do a little reading about the holdings. Fees, expenses before I invested in this fund for the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Don. I think that's good. The 0.25 expense ratio is okay.
Okay.
Also I noted the inception date of the fund is September 2022. Based on that time frame, this fund is a screamer. The market has been good. However, wouldn't a person want a fund with a longer track record?
Oh, I love this question.
It's a great question.
All the time.
Yeah.
But it's based on some flawed assumptions. It's based on actually a flawed system. And the system is there are skilled managers, that there are skilled money managers, and that you, before you can tell if they're skilled or not, you need to give them some time to perform, to show how well they perform or how poorly they perform. In the case of an Avantis or a Dimensional, or a Vanguard or Fidelity or Schwab Index. Anything that is rules-based, that is not hunch-based, it already has a track record based on the track record of the assets that that fund restricts itself to.
Or so in to other words, that fund restricts the rules, itself. You could look back at indexes and say indexes have performed about this way for a long period of time, so therefore the fund should, if history is a guide, perform this way.
And in the case of Avantis, they have certain rules. They'll tell you what the rules are. They overweight small companies. They overweight value stocks, undervalued assets. They have to meet certain criteria to be included in the fund. They can't be like a new offering. They can't have filed for bankruptcy. They have to meet a lot of criteria. As long as they are within those rules, they are in the portfolio. So you can look back at a portfolio based on those rules and know how it did.
And this is where the confusion comes in. I believe people, when they buy a fund, think that, well, it's only been around a year and a half, and shouldn't I wait for the manager to see how he's going to do, which stocks he's going to pick, how he's going to decide around markets? That's the point. So we're not waiting for seasoning for some new 25-year-old who's recently new to Wall Street to see how well he understands interest rate changes, et cetera, has nothing to do with it.
And I have to make a confession. I used to be one who believed that active management could could potentially add value. And I got a lot of that from people like Peter Lynch, who had a tremendous track record with Fidelity Magellan. And so I believe that past performance might be indicative of future results. But all of the academic research says that is not the case. As a matter of fact, those funds that performed well over the last 5 or 10 years tend to be underperformers going forward based on multiple studies.
And Peter Lynch's track record, I believe, has been tied much to the asset class he was in. I guess smaller companies, that kind of thing. All right. She has one final, Donna does, says, I don't believe you ever hit on the fact that there is a potential capital gains of 3% on the fund.
Not to you.
That's what I was trying to figure out what she was talking about.
No. They're not retaining capital gains and passing them along to new shareholders. No. You buy the fund. That is now your cost basis. At whatever price you sell the fund in the future, that is the amount on which you will have a capital gain or loss.
That's it. Yep. That's okay. It.
They're not retaining gains to distribute. ETFs do not distribute capital gains to shareholders. They accrue them. And
because of the way they transfer the securities back and forth rather than actually selling them inside. They have kind of a warehouse where they go get more or less. That's good. By the way, you like that? Okay, pick one out. You got Costco warehouse. I'll take two of those, three of those. Before we run out of time here, I want to say. We've kind of caught our breath from Retire Meet now, so we're ready to talk to more of you. We kind of took a little time off, but if you want our help, and by the way, I'm now taking Saturday meetings again. I got one next Saturday, so happy to do it again.
Vacation.
No, I'm going to do them there too. Why not?
In Africa?
Wait a minute. Is that... That's an elephant there. So hunt it. Go online, get some help. Look at your plan. Look at your portfolio. We talk to you free. No obligation, no sales push. Sales pitch, push. Anyway, maybe it's time for the show to be over. Yeah, it's Talking Real Money.
You know, the good thing is you fell apart right at the end. So
you can edit this out. No, you won't.
You'll run this three or four times. I run it raw. I'm just going to put it on repeat.
So go to talkingrealmoney.com. Click on Meet an Advisor. I would love to talk to you. We have a lot of advisors who love to talk to you. Don would not like to talk to you.
No,
but go ahead and make a meeting.
I'll talk to you on the road trip.
That's true.
But you gotta work for it. I got the logo, the road trip logo. Just finished it. It's a great one. It's going on the side of as you call it, the silver bullet, or as we call it, Stella the Excella.
There's not a whole lot of Excella there, but okay, we'll see.
No, that's its brand. The Excella. It's from the 70s. No, the 80s. 70s to 80s. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for being there. Tell friends, acquaintances, family members, enemies, just run up and down the street shouting talkingrealmoney.com, talkingrealmoney.com. Send questions in there. Call us on Saturdays from 3 to 5 Eastern at 855-935-TALK. There's so many ways you can talk to us. I'm Don. Tom's over there. Oh, by the way, the population of Bellevue.
150,000.
158,000.
Okay. I was close. I said 200. I was shooting high.
You were close. Yeah. Thanks for being there. Tom and I hang out all the time talking real money.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast were current on the date recorded. Opinions, estimates, forecasts, and statements of financial market trends that are based on current market conditions constitute our judgment and are subject to change without notice, including any forward-looking estimates or statements which are based on certain expectations and assumptions. Although information and opinions given have been obtained from or based on sources believed to be reliable, no warranty or representation is made as to their correctness, completeness, or accuracy. Information presented on the podcast is not personalized investment advice from Appella Wealth. The views and strategies described may not be suitable for everyone. This podcast does not identify all the risks, direct or indirect, or other considerations which might be material to you when entering any financial transaction. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and profitable results cannot be guaranteed. We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for informational, educational, and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. The podcast is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Appella Wealth, a fee-only registered investment advisor.
Please see Appella Wealth ADV Part 2A on our website for information regarding Appella's fees and services.
Appella Capital, LLC, DBA Appella Wealth, is an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. The firm only transacts business in the states where it is properly registered or excluded or exempt from registration requirements. Registration with the SEC or any state securities authority does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Appella does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing either stated or implied here should be inferred as providing such advice. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and important disclosure related to performance of any specific index or fund quoted in this podcast. Is anybody still listening?